The gospel reading for today comes from Luke, the third chapter, the story of the baptism of our Lord. And if you'll watch the screen or open your Bibles, you can follow along. It goes like this. As the people were filled with expectations and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So, vocation. Vocare, that's the Latin word, the root word. It means to call. Martin Luther made a helpful distinction for us between vocation and occupation, and he said this: all of us are called, vocated, vocare, called by God, to be agents of God's purpose in life. Witnesses to the good news of the coming of God's kingdom, God's reign as Lord of all, that's our vocation, all of us, as God's people. And we fulfill that vocation, that calling, in all sorts of places. It's in what we do to make a living. It's in what we do with our families. It's what we do in our communities, what we do with our money. And it's also how we treat the stranger. All places in which we show up, we act out our calling, right? And that calling takes particular forms also based on your personality, your particular strengths and weaknesses and traits, the time in which you're living, the situation that you find yourself in. But that calling, where does that start? Well, for Jesus, it started in the water, baptism. It's recorded in all four Gospels, this account of what happened to Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them. Isn't it interesting that the birth of Jesus only shows up in two of the four Gospels? As important as that is for us to celebrate, we do every year, the birth of Jesus. It's not in all four Gospels, but this is. And it's like the starting point. And it's the point at which we celebrate Jesus' calling from God. Which suggests what to us? Well, how Jesus was born is of less importance than the fact that he's the chosen one of God, called, set aside to fulfill God's purposes, not, of course, just for his time, but for all eternity as Savior of the world. But in like manner, our calling starts with water, right? And sometimes before we had anything to say about it, it startles us into life, you know? Or maybe it happened when you were able to consciously make your own choice, saying yes to Jesus and deciding to turn your life over to God, you know? But whenever it happened, what was declared on your life was this: "You are my beloved child. I am pleased with you. I've called you by name. You are mine," it says in Isaiah 43. And nothing you do or say, nothing you fail to do or fail to say, nothing that happens will ever erase that reality from your life. That's just the fact of your life now. Regardless of how well you fulfilled your calling up to this point, successfully, unsuccessfully, you are marked with your identity. Your calling from God. To Gary from God, your gift tag says when it's sticking to you, "I have called you by name, you are mine." That's the heart of the gospel, the good news that we preach here at Lord of Life. You know, the men's breakfast Bible study was meeting yesterday morning, and one of the members of our tune-in listening team that's interviewing 50 different organizations around here at Lord of Life. You know, we have at least 50 organizations here. They're going around and asking them questions and listening, and then they're going to listen out in the community as well to help us sort out, again, what's our calling from God right now as a congregation. And the first question they asked yesterday morning was, if Lord of Life disappeared tomorrow, what would our community miss? And it was kind of interesting because these men, for them, here's the gist of what I heard them saying was this. It's a place of grace that proclaims and witnesses to the unconditional love of God with no judgments, no condemnation, just love. And they said that was at the heart of everything that we do around here, all of our ministries, from feeding the hungry to welcoming people into worship. That's what they said yesterday, sort of, right? Marked in our baptism, nothing can take that calling away from us. Well, so that leads to another question, though. Given that that's the fact of our life, where does that lead? What is your calling specifically? What are you called to be and do? You're not called to save the world like Jesus was. That's already been accomplished, but you're called to be part of his redeeming work to save the world. So what, the question is, what is your calling specifically? One of the most significant metaphors for living out our calling as Christians is in J.R.R. Tolkien's book and incredible trilogy it is called The Lord of the Rings. How many of you have read it or seen the movies? Or The Hobbit is the introduction, right? Okay. If you haven't, it's worth looking at. Well, J.R.R. Tolkien was a deeply Christian man, rooted in the Catholic tradition, who was, by the way, mainly responsible for the conversion of C.S. Lewis, that famous author, to Christianity. And the story starts with the wizard Gandalf visiting the Shire. That's what this image is, a comfortable, safe, pleasant community where hobbits grow up. Young hobbit Frodo is being raised there into his calling by his uncle Bilbo Baggins. He was raised with a great deal of love in this place, but also he grew up hearing the tales of adventure from his uncle's calling, from his famous trip and back, and of a ring that his uncle still had that had these incredible, mysterious powers. So one day, Gandalf asks Frodo to fulfill his calling by bearing that ring, this dangerous ring, back to Rivendell, the house of Elrond, the king of the elves, so that it can be decided how to destroy this ring, which is so dangerous because the powers of evil in Mordor want to get hold of it and use it to rule and destroy the world. So it's his job to carry that ring back. It's a treacherous journey. On the way, Frodo is attacked. He almost dies. He gets finally to Elrond, the king of elves, who saves his life at Rivendell. And so here he is, resting and recovering at Rivendell, ready to go back home. Okay, I've fulfilled my mission, right? My calling is fulfilled. I'm ready to go home to the safety of the Shire. And they have this council of Elrond. And as the leaders of the key groups of the world gather to decide how to destroy that ring in Mount Doom where it was created, instead of going home safely, here's what happens. Maybe not.
I will take the ring to Mordor. Though I do not know the way.
I will help you bear this burden, Frodo Baggins, as long as it is yours to bear.
If by my life or death, I can protect you, I will.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my axe.
Of us all, little one. If this is indeed the will of the council, then Gondor will see it done.
Here! Mr. Frodo's not going anywhere without me.
No, indeed, it is hardly possible to separate you, even when he is summoned to a secret council, and you are not.
We're coming too!
To send us all tied up in a sack to stop us.
Anyway, you need people of intelligence on this sort of mission. Quest. Thank you.
Well, that rules you out, Pip. My companions.
So be it. You shall be the Fellowship of the Ring.
Right. Where are we going?
So say all as they begin their adventures, huh? Where are we going? Isn't it comforting to know that you don't go alone? That's the deal. This is such a great metaphor of the whole Christian community. It's a great metaphor for how life is in the church. The journey of the baptized, those who know their belovedness, you know? Called on this journey, living out their calling. Now, those adventures are going to be different for each one of us, because God has different things in mind for each of us, doesn't he? Based on our personalities, our spiritual gifts, our life experiences, and the calling comes of what needs to happen right now, right? In the moment. That's what happened with Frodo there. Some of you have been called to the adventure of driving the park and ride golf carts, right? Sharon Catt yesterday, when we were organizing, said, she always says to people as she picks them up, "Have you started praying before worship yet?" And they say, she says, "Well, you better now because I'm driving this thing." Some are called to lead, others to follow. Oftentimes, you're called in the moment, you know? You see a stressed and tired set of parents in the lining at the grocery store, and so you decide to humor the kids by playing peekaboo with them for a while just to give the parents some relief. Or you have a driver next to you on the road giving you the one-finger salute, and you give them this salute instead. Huh? Or you see a need for more food backpacks here at church, and so you bring some food to church. Or you say, I like eating stuff. I'm going to buy some of that youth stuff to help them on their mission, right? Or maybe you're called to start a business in your life, and you do. And after many ups and downs, you succeed, and then you realize God has given you the ability to make money. So you give that to the church to further its mission of bearing witness to God's grace through the 50 or more organizations around Lord of Life here. Or maybe you played saxophone in high school, right? And somebody says, we want to play When All the Saints Go Marching In at church on All Saints Sunday, the jazz style, right? Kind of New Orleans jazz style. And they say to you, who do you know who plays a saxophone around here? You know? And so you go, well, I played 40 years ago. It's been a long time. They go, great. So you get your saxophone out, and you're really rusty, and it's irritating. You wreck your mouth and all that. Before long, though, you find yourself playing in the church's jazz band at the Youth Valentine's Dinner. That's a commercial. That's in February. And people say, why is he running back and forth during worship services playing that saxophone? And he says, because it brings me joy, and it's part of my calling to live in joy and do what God has made me to do. You are called. I'm called. All of us called, beloved children of God, in whom God is well pleased, and it's all an adventure. Your adventure. Responding with your God-given gifts to the situation you find yourself in, or in the career you find yourself in, the circles of influence around you. Even when it's not convenient, you find that you have to pick up that ring, whatever it is in the moment, and follow him. maybe to your death, but certainly on an adventure where you're going to have the time of your life. But make no mistake, you are called, I'm called, to this adventure, and you've already been on it.